Hello.
Well, we may not have a microphone for the session, but I think that this is a small enough room that we should do okay without it. So let me welcome you all to this Universal Access to Care session. My name is Mona Sarfati, and I'm from the Medical Care section of APHA. My home institution right now is Thomas Jefferson University in Philadelphia, and where I'm in the Department of Health Policy with a joint appointment in Family and Community Medicine. And this is, I think, a very auspicious time to be having this session, in that for the first time in a very long time, if the outcome of the presidential election looks like it is likely to be what the polls are showing, there's clearly going to be a tremendous amount of focus on access to healthcare services. And there's a great deal going on around the country already in individual states and in various regions to try to improve access in the face of this tremendous growing group of uninsured individuals that we have throughout the country. And I know I have previously worked in the Senate as a health policy advisor and worked for Senator Kennedy, and keep in touch with some of those folks. And I know that they've actually had subcommittees who have been working for the last 6 months trying to develop portions of what they hope will be a universal access bill that will be introduced in the new Congress. So there's a tremendous amount going on at the national level. There's a tremendous amount going on at the state and local level. And I think, you know, this is a time when everybody really wants to be familiar as possible with the issues and the sub-issues. And in that regard, this is a tremendous opportunity this morning to think about some of them. So our first speaker is Marcus Barnes. He's a graduate of the University of South Carolina, has been in healthcare for 9 years, and has been at the Palmetto Health for the last two. He's currently working to help the uninsured in Richland County, South Carolina, to gain access to all primary and specialty care needs. And so welcome to our first speaker.
Thank you very much. I believe my voice carries well enough that you'll all be able to hear me, but let me know if you're not able to. First off, let me grab this up here. Just let you, like to say I'm honored to be here today to present our program, Richland Care, Palmetto Health's Richland Care, the recipient of the American Hospital Association's 2007 NOVA Award. I feel that it's a great program, and that it has yielded some positive results, some promising results at that. So let's get going here. There's no disclosures that need to be made, so no relationships. All right. I'd like to discuss the insurance status and how it relates to utilization and the Richland Care's effect on these, and also look at Richland Care's results from the hospital's perspective as well, and what can be done. So, why do patients use RED? There are many reasons for this, some of which I have listed here. They believe their lives and well-being depend on it. They feel there's no other place to go. They need access to services. And multiple other reasons as well. However, we find the number one reason, at least in our opinion, is accessibility. Many of our participants just do not have the access to the services that they need, and the emergency departments are the only way that they feel they can gain access to these. However, all of the reasons that I had listed have consequences. Anything from overcrowded EDs to financial write-offs, poor health status, and poor health outcomes. So is insurance the answer? Is it that simple? Partly, some think that that is why healthcare is such a hot topic in our political world today. There is a connection between lack of health insurance and poor health outcomes due to delaying of care. However, at Richland Care, we believe it's not the complete answer. Insurance doesn't necessarily mean access. It doesn't solve the accessibility problem, the reason that many choose the emergency departments. There are still limitations in certain areas on primary care capacity, the quality of care provided, and of course, there's improper system utilization. Sometimes people just don't know where to go for their healthcare needs. So let's look at some numbers from a study done in 2006. It compares the state of South Carolina to the United States. You'll see that South Carolina's numbers are worse than the national average in the percentage of the population with commercial insurance, Medicaid recipients, and those with no health care coverage. This slide shows information on the number of emergency department and inpatient discharges in South Carolina in 2006, sorted by insurance status. It also illustrates each one in a per member per month utilization. The numbers on that previous slide show us that those with commercial insurance have the lowest utilization rate for the emergency department, and the uninsured has the lowest inpatient utilization rates as well. However, those with Medicaid have the highest utilization rate of both emergency department and inpatient use. So if insurance coverage is not the complete answer, then what is? Is there one? So what works? There are many common threads. We know many things that help. Community involvement, accessibility, outreach, but they almost work together to really create a positive outcome. Some of which are these right now: pharmaceuticals, patient education, accessibility to specialty care, or they're items that Richland Care is focused on. So Richland Care. We believe Richland Care is not the solution, however, it is a solution. So what exactly is Richland Care? The Richland Care model is a medical home network with 8 key components: health navigation and care coordination, an engaged participant, a medical home, specialty care, hospital services, pharmaceuticals, disease management, and education. As you can see, it takes a lot of partnering among many different areas to create this model. We currently have 12 medical homes throughout our county who serve our participants. We also have contracted providers among 19 different specialty areas that are offered to our participants that otherwise would not gain access to these specialty services. So Richland Care. It was created in 2001. It began as a comprehensive solution to provide health care to the uninsured in Richland County and provide a way to lessen the bottleneck in our emergency departments as well. Through September of 2008, Richland Care has touched the lives of over 13,000 people, which is approximately 34% of our target population. So as you can see, we still have much work to do. The impact of the Richland Care delivery system is outstanding, indicating reductions in emergency department and inpatient hospital services. In addition to reductions in inpatient and ED use, participants report improvements in health status. Using the Primary Care Assessment Tool Survey, developed by Johns Hopkins School of Public Health, the percentage of participants self-reporting their health status as excellent, very good, or good was 55.2% in 2002. In 2006, 67.1% of the survey participants indicated the same status categories. This slide illustrates the inpatient utilization among Richland Care participants. There was an initial increase, as you can see by the chart, followed by a steady decline. From 2001 through August of 2006, the most current numbers available through our evaluations, local hospitals experienced a 15% decrease in inpatient use for active Richland Care participants compared to the 2-year period prior to Richland Care. That equates to roughly 231 hospitalizations. There was a 29% reduction through August of 2005. However, as all you know, with Hurricane Katrina, Richland Care served on the front lines with all the evacuees that came to Columbia, South Carolina. So that Hurricane Katrina is sort of what we attribute that bump in 2005. We expect that, however, as we evaluate further years, there will be a continued decline. The emergency department use has a little more variation. However, Richland Care participants had a 36% reduction in ED utilization during the same time period. That reduction resulted in approximately 4,205 missed emergency department visits. So what does the reduction in ED and inpatient utilization really mean? During this 58-month period, Richland Care has helped save approximately $9.7 million in charges, or $2.2 million per year. How did we come up with that number? Basically, we just multiply the missed days times the actual charges for inpatient hospitalizations and ED visits. We then come up with the actual cost savings based on the assumption that costs are 35% of charges and variable costs are 60% of total costs. So you see, annually, we can estimate roughly $707,000 in annual cost savings or cost avoidance, and then $425,000 annually in variable cost avoidance. This program has relied on many strategic community partners. We have community meetings, outreach groups, and planning groups. These help us determine our population's needs and the current resources that are out there to help them and help them meet their needs. Other partnerships are imperative as well, with schools, faith communities, current different businesses and industry, different colleges, universities, neighborhood groups, and many more. As you can see, it's a very comprehensive program. Here are some of our objectives and goals that were created upon the creation of Richland Care. I think the last one's the most interesting. We can perform a service, but unless you can illustrate positive results, then it's going to be hard to maintain the support necessary to continue functioning. But there are many objectives and goals, as you can see. The first one is to create a healthier community. But it's not just about service. You must be able to show results as well. Again, I'd just like to thank you for allowing me to be here today. And thank you for your attention. And I will pass it on over to our moderator. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. Our next speaker is Virgene Hanna, and she's a researcher with University of Alaska's Institute of Social and Economic Research and director of Kids Count Alaska.
Thank you. I'm not a particularly loud speaker and don't do a very good job of projecting my voice, so wave at me or